Well, good morning, boys and girls.
Good morning.
I think we have a full house today. That is, everyone's back. That's good to see. Well, we are continuing the new study that we began last week, the beginning of a new term and a new year, and that study is, of course, of my favourite Psalms. And we're starting with the first Psalm, Psalm 1. Now, where else would we start a study of my favourite Psalms than with the very first Psalm? It is a wonderful Psalm. You'll notice there's no name on it. That is, we don't know who wrote it. But that doesn't make any difference, because the author was known by God and inspired by God to write these wonderful words. You have, to a very large degree, a setting out of the wonderful truths that the rest of the Psalms take up and set out. In this very first Psalm, you nearly have a wee Bible. It's a lovely Psalm. Now, we sung it in our opening prayer, therefore I don't need to read it to you. But I can commend to you the reading of this Psalm. It's not very long. When you wake up in the morning, it wouldn't take you very long just to read the Psalm. If you have a Bible beside your bed, and I hope you do, why, before you even get out of bed, you could read it. And it would revive your heart and mind and get you going for the day. Well, let's start with this Psalm then. It's the door to all the other Psalms, as it were. It was inspired by God, as I've already stated, and it has been preserved by God. You know, there's many books in this world last no time at all. They disappear. There's certainly very, 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 very few books in this world that are as old as the first Psalm. But God has seen to it that it's been preserved for you. And a marvellous thing. God took care of this Psalm so that you could read it. That gives you a real good motive for reading it. If God has preserved it, there must be surely something in it that will bring blessing to your heart. Now, we're going to start, as I say, with the first Psalm, and we're going to start with the first word of the first Psalm. See what the first word is? Blessed is the man, etc., etc. Blessed. Actually, if we were to translate into English the literal meaning of the word that is there in the Hebrew, we would have blessednesses, plural. An E-S on the end. It means happinesses. Happinesses. That's what the word blessed means. A reference to joy. Joy and happiness. It denotes, as I say, a plurality. You know what that means. You have singular, and then you have plural. Singular being one, plural being more than one. Many. And God is telling us here, many are the happinesses that come through his word. In fact, so glorious are the happinesses that come to us from the word of God that we just couldn't put a limit on it. There's no end to the happiness that comes from obeying God, reading his word, and loving him. That's the difference between the happiness that comes from the Lord and the happiness that's out there in the world. The Bible says that the joys of sin, the pleasures of sin, they're only for a season. They're like the flowers. When they spring up and they open their petals and they send forth their perfumes, but they're going to wither and die very, very soon. And God's preaching a great gospel truth to us by those flowers and what they do. Look at the trees out there. Have a good look at them when you get out. You mightn't even have noticed or taken any heed to them. But have a good look at them when you go out at break time. There's not a leaf hardly left on them. Bare. There seems no time ago they were so full of leaves and green and fresh and lovely. But they all have died. And that's the way it is with the world's joy. But not so with the joy God gives. I'm going to read a verse, the last verse of Psalm 16. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Didn't I tell you the joys that God gives have no end? Evermore! Evermore. Throughout eternity, the boy or girl, the man or the woman, who has obeyed the Lord throughout all eternity, they will have the blessing of God upon them. And the joy of God will fill their heart. That's why in heaven we read so often of singing. Singing denotes joy. If I hear one of you coming in the morning, singing away to yourself, or maybe just humming a little tune to yourself, I know you're in good form. You're happy. Singing springs out of our hearts when we're happy.
When we're not happy, we're very miserable looking.
But heaven is a place of singing because it's a place of joy. Now, we've noted then the meaning of the word blessed. It means happinesses. And we have to take note that it springs from God's word. This Bible is like a well. It bubbles up happiness for those who come to it, read it, study it, drink from it. It'll fill your life with joy and with bliss. It's the immediate benefit that comes from reading the Word of God. Then again, this blessedness is obtained by faith alone. Now, it just will not come if you read the Scriptures. You've got to believe it. You've got to believe it. There's plenty of people who have been brought up with some knowledge of the Scriptures. Although, I just heard yesterday, a lady emailed me to say that there was a report in one of the daily newspapers that attendance at Sunday school has been cut in half over the last 30 years. Just half the number attending Sunday school in the nation over the last 30 years. That's not very long. And it's a very sad reflection on the direction that our nation is taking. And it brings home to us the fact that whereas in the past many boys and girls were taught at least something of the Bible, as a result of going to Sunday school, there's less and less and less going to Sunday school, so that there is less and less knowledge of the Bible in the world. But it's not enough just to have some knowledge of the Bible. You've got to believe it. And that goes for you as well. You're taught the Scriptures here every day. Every day. And not just once a day. You hear the Scripture set before you on a number of occasions during the day. But it's not enough for you to hear. You've got to receive. Your breakfast would never do you any good if it was set on the table before you, but you never ate it. It wouldn't do you any good. You've got to eat it. And to believe the Bible is the same as eating. Taking it in, and that's what's required here. This blessedness that is set forth in the very first word belongs to those who believe, embrace by faith the Word of God. Furthermore, this blessedness that we enjoy from the Bible overrules all the sorrows and the griefs that come to us during our life. Because life on this earth for men and women is by and large a sorrowful experience. There's sickness, there's disturbance, there's upset, there's disappointment, all sorts of things. Maybe before this day is ended, something will happen to you that will bring you sorrow of heart. But if you believe God's word, you have a source of joy and contentment and peace that will overrule. How will we put it? It will wash away, sweep away the sorrows of life. There's a little portion in 1 Samuel, in the life of David. And David's life was a life in which there were many, many disappointments. Oh, he had a great day. That day he defeated Goliath, and he was the hero. But there were many, many times when that's not what the people thought about David. And as you know, he was hunted, he said. Hunted like an animal on the mountains by Saul. Well, on one occasion, even his own friends turned against him. We read about that in 1 Samuel chapter 30. While David was away from his camp with his soldiers, the enemy came into his camp and stole everything he had and all the belongings of his soldiers, even their wives and children, and they took them away. So when David and his soldiers came back to their camp, they found nothing at all left but every sign that they had been robbed. And you can imagine the distress and the sorrow and the grief there was. Listen to what we read. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him. Now the people were those who were his friends, his supporters, men who had followed David and been faithful to him, but they've now turned their opinion of him because of this setback, this awful setback, when the enemy took away all that they had. They spake of stoning him because the soul of the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. They were overcome with grief and sorrow, and they turned round, as men and women do, and they wanted someone to blame. It's your fault, David. And they actually talked among themselves, we'll stone him. That's what we'll do. What did David do? It says he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. David turned to the Lord in his trouble. And he doubtless would have turned to the Word of God in his trouble. I tell you, boys and girls, the Bible supplies us with comfort and peace and joy that will counteract, overcome the sorrows that we will encounter in life. And the joy that thus gives us victory over troubles in life, it will last forever. There is no end to it. Now, let me come to another point. We've looked at the meaning of the first word. Well, let's notice that contrary to what man may say, the truth of God is the key to joy and victory. You see this Bible that you have and I have? The world says that's the greatest source of trouble in this world. That's what men say. It's in the papers every day. I see letters in various newspapers and articles in various newspapers, and all the troubles of the world are blamed on the Bible. Blamed on the Bible. Just as when we read the Bible, we read of good men blamed all the time for all the trouble. Like David here. David was blamed for the troubles that came to the camp. And so it is with the Bible. It's blamed. Men constantly mock the Word of God, the religion of Christ, and blame it for every ill in this old troubled world. Well, you can guess who it is that's putting out that story. The devil. The Lord Jesus says he's a liar from the beginning. Every time the devil opens his mouth, a big lie comes out. He never opened his mouth, but a lie comes out. He can speak nothing else but lies. And it's one of his chief lies that we're thinking about, blaming the Bible for all the troubles of the world. Nothing could be further from the truth. Of course, that's what I've just said. What the devil says, it couldn't be further from the truth. It's the very opposite to the truth. When the devil says the Bible is the source of trouble, in actual truth, the Bible is the source of joy. The Bible is the source of joy. The song of the saints of God in heaven testifies of this fact. How did they get there? How do the singing saints in heaven now, how did they get there? By believing the Bible. By following it. By obeying it. So that the fact that they're in heaven and in heaven singing is an indication that far from the Bible bringing you misery, it will bring you everlasting life. Listen to what we read concerning the singing of the saints in heaven. I'm reading from Revelation chapter 5, the verses 9 and 10. Chapter 5 of Revelation 9 and 10. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God, kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Oh, that has come from the Bible. Redeemed, sitting in heaven, made to be kings, and we're going to reign on earth. Are you saved this morning? Well, let me tell you, you are going to reign on this earth. You're going to be a king, have kingly authority given you by God over this earth. Isn't that some prospect that lies in the future? And it's come to you because you believe the Bible. That's what the Bible brought to you. Only wretchedness comes from disbelieving the Bible, by refusing the Bible, by neglecting the Bible. Misery is the consequences of that. Look at the last verses of the psalm. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, the way of the ungodly shall perish. You neglect the Bible and you're on a path that will lead you to everlasting misery. Everlasting misery. In recent days, I seem to have come across the phrase, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Many, many times. You know what gnashing of teeth is? It's the grinding of your teeth. And you would only think of grinding your teeth, you would only be driven to grinding your teeth if you were in the most severe pain. Pain that was such that it wasn't enough to shout. You had to grind your teeth in pain. And that's the eternal portion of those who reject the Word of God. One more thought, and it's this, and I want to emphasize this. I've touched on it, but I want to emphasize it. This joy that we've been speaking of, and which the Psalm speaks of, from the very first word, blessed! How do I have, how do I enjoy this happiness? By believing the Bible. This joy is found alone through faith in the Holy Scriptures. Faith in God's Word. Look at what it says. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, verse 1, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he doth meditate day and night. Here's a man in total obedience to God. He's turned his back upon every influence in this world that is not of God. He doesn't walk in the advice that's given by ungodly men. Oh, I remember. I look down to see the boys. I remember when I was your age. You say you must have a great memory. Well, I do, as far as that's concerned. And I can remember when we had moved to Belfast, and I was about your age, and I met up with lads who lived in the neighbourhood where we lived and became friends with them. And many times we'd all get together and what are we going to do? Here's what we'll do. And usually it wasn't a good thing. But that was the thinking that sprang up in the minds and hearts of lads. And I tell you, that's the way it is with men. Their thoughts are always wrong. Their notions are always wrong. But the holy person, the person who is going to know God's blessing, he doesn't walk in the counsel. That's a word that just simply means advice. In the advice. The counsel that men give. The godly man doesn't follow that. He doesn't walk in that way. Nor does he stand in the way of sinners. You'll not find him standing in the place where wicked men stand. There used to be a term for those who were rather idle, useless, prone to doing what's wrong. They call them corner boys. Because you'd always find them standing at the corner of a street to see what was going on, to see what mischief there was that they could get involved in. And they called them corner boys. That was a term that was very prevalent in my teenage years. Well, you'll not find the godly person doing that. They'll not stand looking around for something wrong to do. Nor will they sit in the seat of the scornful. Now notice that. Walk, stand, sit. There's progression there, isn't there? And the ungodly man progresses in his sins. He'll walk first of all in the thoughts and ways of the wicked. Then he'll take up a stand with them, and finally he'll sit down in the ways of sin. But the child of God is found in obedience to the scriptures and not involved in such things. This is what obedience is. It's not being associated with the wicked in this world. Instead of walking, standing, sitting with the ungodly, it says that this man has a delight in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. He has a love for the word of God, and it draws him, and he is forever reading it and studying it and enjoying it. That tells you who you are. What do you think of the Bible? Because how you think of the Bible tells me what you are. The holy person delights in the scriptures, loves the scriptures. Oh yes, we have an old nature that would try and hinder us reading the Bible, but the true child of God has nevertheless a desire to read the Bible and likes to get to the Bible and looks to the Bible for help and guidance. And what it sees there, it rejoices in. The holy person, they love the scriptures. Note too, that it's a constant study. I want to emphasize this to you, boys and girls. Now, it doesn't mean that we carry the Bible in our hand and every minute of the day we're reading it. No. Any more than every minute of your day you're sitting at a table eating food. But you know something? What you ate this morning at breakfast time, you're enjoying it this minute. Well, you don't even think about it. You'd be hard-pressed if I said, well, what did you have for breakfast? You'd hardly know. But at this moment, what you had for breakfast is working away there. And it's strengthening your body. And it's enabling you to carry out the duties of this day. Well, it's the same in the Bible. I don't have to be, as it were, reading the Bible every minute of the day. But I can read the Bible, as it were, take a meal from the Bible, and then, for a period, it's working in my mind, working in my heart, working in my feet and my hands, causing them to do what's right. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and he meditates, thinks about, day and night. He read it, and what he read, he has closed the Bible, he has set it down, but now he's thinking about it. And like you, digesting your breakfast, even now, and so nourishing your body, so it is with the Bible. What I read this morning will nourish me throughout the day, cause me to think upon, meditate upon, the Word of God. This is the source of happiness, boys and girls. This is the teaching of the very first psalm. As I told you, it's like a wee Bible. And I trust the Lord will bless you from our little study today. Let's bow in prayer. Lord Jesus, help us to understand the benefits, the blessednesses that spring from the scriptures. Each boy and girl know that they hold in their hand the key to eternal joy. Help them to feast often upon the scriptures. Meditate in them day and night. Bless our school today. We thank thee, Lord, that everyone's back at school. May your hand be upon everyone, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.